Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Dutcher and Rich. Follow the show. Rich runs the Twitter and Instagram of the show at Dutcher and Rich. Follow John at Ken Griffey Rules, because he does. And you can follow me on Instagram at Fred Dutcher.
As I search the planet for the proper way to fry this turkey, I want to thank people for the advice on the turkey fryers. I do appreciate it. So, Johnny Boy, I am up to now 19.1 thousand followers.
Okay.
20 right. is the goal.
Yep.
Once I hit 20, you can take the foot off the gas.
Is that right? Is it? You've reached the summit, and it's
because I'm off Cameo. Because Cameo ain't worth it. Cameo is a job. Yet.
Get back into that. What happened, real quick? Because I know we're going to talk about the Patriots, but the Cameo thing, you brought that up in passing yesterday and said it wasn't worth your time.
No,
it's too complicated, and you couldn't find you. What's going on?
They take half the money. It was fun. I would make the videos with my daughter. She was the camera person, and it was fun. And, you know, I make 20 bucks here and there out of the 49 that I charged. I ended up with like $22 out of it or something. And, people are constantly going, hey, I'm trying to book you on Cameo. I mean, all the time, every day, really, I swear to God, I'm trying to book you on Cameo. I can't find you. And it's not worth it. I don't want to keep contacting those idiots to try to get I'll just make videos with my daughter and put them on Instagram. I mean, that's all I'll do.
Or you could just have your own kind of PayPal situation.
I don't need to get paid. I thought it would be easy. I thought that they handle everything and then it would just kind of be fun. And then it's not. They don't. So anyone who wants to use the business model of Cameo and actually make it work, there's millions of dollars waiting for you. Let me know. I'll be an angel investor. All right. So, if you were listening to Felger Mez, they had some good stuff yesterday.
Can we play the thing they did about Mookie?
I don't want to do that right now because we talked about that a lot. I want to stick on the Patriots. But, because Felger was at a socially distanced outdoor cocktail party because, again, just like in the movie Diner when you have Kevin Bacon and
Mickey Rourke
out, and they're in the country and they see the beautiful girl on the horse, and Kevin Bacon turns to Mickey Rourke and says, do you ever get a feeling there's a lot going on that we don't know about? There are apparently cocktail parties going on in Massachusetts. I have never been to something
on that island that Rich is on at the moment. There are cocktail parties and secret societies that no one knows about.
Yes, he's on Nantucket.
yes, it's such a mysterious place.
No, it's a lot of rich people. I mean, I'm friends with a girl on Facebook that spends a lot of time in Nantucket, and there's all kinds of things going on there. She's at these lavish lawn parties with big white tents and beautiful
flip-flops and pink shorts, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Eyes wide shut parties where you Fidelio.
I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, that is the playground of the rich. There's no doubt about it. But he's at one of them things, and the thing was Mookie got offered some money by the Red Sox and turned it down. But
which I don't believe, by the way. I believe he heard that story, but I don't believe that the Red Sox did that.
Fair enough. All right, but the one thing that James Stewart said was Stephon Gilmore was being shopped, and if you look at what Jalen Ramsey got in return, two first-round picks, and that was only a half year left on his deal, and they had to sign him, the Rams, to some massive deal. You're not going to do that with Stephon Gilmore. And listen, the Patriots are late. And Belichick wanted to do this before. He wanted to avoid this situation. But you want to be in this situation as the Patriots for as short amount of time as possible. And the amount of time... Right now, Vegas has got you as a pretty big underdog to win the AFC East. And even if you win the AFC East, you ain't winning the AFC. So you're in this kind of holding pattern. You have an aging quarterback who doesn't look right that you have signed just for this year. You have nothing on offense, and you have drafted heavily in your secondary and on defense. So play the kids now. Get out of this position. This kind of purgatory of, eh, are we as good as the Bills? You want this over with. You want to rip the Band-Aid off. And Belichick wanted to do this because now we know, of course, that there was a meeting between Belichick, or it's believed by several sources that there is a meeting between Belichick and Kraft years ago in order to wanting to move Brady and stick with Garoppolo, which is the whole storyline going into this. But beyond that, if you got a guy who was Defensive Player of the Year and you can get a first-round pick, now it's going to be a late first-round pick, but if you get it for him, take it now.
Are there people who don't think that they would give up a first or two first-round picks for Stephon Gilmore?
I don't think anyone would give up two. Don't forget now, Ramsey's 4 or 5 years younger.
Yeah.
And Gilmore's
all right, well, let's
30.
Say one first-round pick. These young guys right now, first of all, Bill seems to like them, and they're playing well. So, I mean, J.C. Jackson, he was the one who had the two pass breakups like that were just unreal, and Jonathan Jones, was he the ones that had the two in the end zone that he swatted down last week? And I know he's going up against Drew Locke, but I think they've been impressive enough.
Well, regardless, you used capital to get them, and you have your young safety. I mean, you move these veterans, you let these kids play. That's the whole idea.
Here's the only problem, though, is that, let's say Bill Belichick does get a first-round pick. Is he going to draft another N'Keal Harry?
That's the thing. I mean, you have to trust him to be able to draft. Yeah. And if I'm Bill Belichick, honestly, I have to be real with myself and go, what I'm doing is not working. The way I'm drafting is not working. I can't draft offensive talent. I can't draft skill position players. I'm not good at it. You know, I can get a Winovich. I can coach up kids on defense because you got to believe that's what he does. You know, Winovich probably isn't as good on another team. You know, I think that Bill Belichick can draft defensive talent and coach it up, which is, by the way, if you don't believe that, that's a belief by a lot of executives about defensive players at Alabama, is that Alabama is so well coached defensively that they'll never get that kind of coaching in the NFL based on the rules that are in place. So these kids have reached their ceiling and they're only going to go down. And I can give you examples of guys like D. Milner. But if you get these kids out of programs, Belichick believes he can coach them up and it's proven that he can. In terms of skill position players. By the way, if you think that they're going to have a chance at the AFC, give us a call, 617-779-0985, because I'd love to hear your justification for it. But, yeah, he's got to just throw his hands up and go, help. I need someone, some whiz kid or someone, to come in and teach me how to evaluate talent at the collegiate level at skill positions, because I can't. Because N'Keal Harry is N'Keal Harry, and he might become a suitable Lockhart, what do you think? He might become, his ceiling is what, a big-bodied end zone target?
Pretty much, yeah. And I don't even know if that's going to be the case because he's pretty soft. I mean, he's getting overpowered by these D-backs.
Yes, he's a big receiver who can't get off the line.
Right.
Which is not what I think they bargained for.
No,
I think
not in the first round.
I think the worst-case scenario they thought is that, okay, he's kind of slow.
Right.
So maybe he's just a big end-zone target.
Yeah, and, you know, he works on his routes. He's able to, you know, get some separation that way, and he can be somebody that's big and strong in the end zone, but it's not working out that way
yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
And the sad part is, and you mentioned the skill position players, he can draft offensive linemen.
Yes.
He's very good at that.
Well, you also had a guy that could coach him up.
No, I understand, but that kind of followed through. Wynn has been more good than bad this year, and Tooney and Mason were low-round picks.
Right, but you had Skarnecchia that could take these guys and coach them up, and I don't know if you have that now, but that's beside the point. I agree with you. If you look at the track record, obviously they can draft offensive line. But the main point is that you're not going to franchise Newton. Is someone dumb enough to go, this is not the time to be Cam Newton, by the way, with all these quarterbacks being that are about to get cut loose. But, I mean, what are you going to, that's who you're going to ride with? You want to be a middling team for this long? So this is the time to start cutting bait. This is the time to start acquiring.
I wonder when the decision will be made on Newton. I mean, it's obviously he's been uneven.
As the season goes, I mean, yeah. you got to give him more than five games.
Yeah. No, the decision's been made on this team, and this team is not someone who needs a 32-year-old quarterback. Now, they could use a 32-year-old quarterback that they don't pay any money to and have the heir apparent behind them and keep taking shots in the draft at a quarterback. But, I mean, they'll probably have a veteran quarterback because it doesn't seem Bill's way that he's going to want a kid starting, you know, his first year.
I don't think with this owner and this head coach, they'll ever go, you know what? We're going to play a veteran who's not necessarily very good. Maybe we'll try a kid, win 5 or 6 games. I don't think that's the case.
Well, that's the option. Bill wanted to make the change when he was able to. He thought that there would be a smooth transition, and he was knocked down. If you let this go any longer, if you keep Cam Newton around, you're never going to challenge for an AFC East title.
I understand.
Or an AFC title.
Well, I think they keep Newton and hopefully develop the guy behind him.
See, how much are you willing to pay him?
I think they will. I think if Newton plays well this year, they will franchise him next year.
And he's going to want to play for the franchise tag?
Sure.
I don't know about that. And well, also, I don't know if I want to give that kind of money to Cam Newton.
Doesn't have a choice.
But if I franchise Cam Newton, what's the best scenario next season?
Hopefully you got a young guy in the pipe.
But what's my best scenario in terms of next season?
If the offensive line remains healthy and N'Keal Harry turns into mediocre, I mean, I think 8-9 wins.
So that's what you don't want.
I understand.
That's absolutely what you don't want.
This owner and this head coach, I don't think they're willing to sit through a 5-11 season.
Well, Belichick does not want to be this. And you're going to be mediocre forever.
But he wants to be this much more than he wants to be that. He's looking at it. I'm betting you he will look at it as a step back before they take another big step forward.
If they re-sign Cam Newton, it's going to be...
No, if they give Cam Newton a 5-year contract on top of the franchise tag, that's one thing.
If they re-sign Cam Newton on top of the franchise, they're in this holding pattern, I might not be doing radio again by the next time they make a Super Bowl. I'm not lying. Teams don't make the Super Bowl, John.
I know that.
Like, a lot of them don't make the Super Bowl.
I know that.
Like,
I know that.
Very difficult to make a Super Bowl.
I know that, and we've taken it for granted around here. I absolutely agree. You and I are together on this.
Want to roll the dice on old guys and whiff it and, you know, picking up a guy at 24
and I'm
every
telling
draft.
You, the Crafts and Bill Belichick will not go for what you're discussing.
That's stupid. Tom, they're dumb. Tom, go ahead, which I don't think they are. Tom, go ahead. I just think they loved Brady. Tom, go ahead. And you got
Thanks
a Super Bowl.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Great.
Just a couple of points, and, you know, going back to the idea of trading Gilmore, you know, to kind of bolster up on draft picks. You know, I kind of agree with that move, and, you know, in the short term and obviously in the long term. I think when you look at the secondary, you know, easily our most talented, you know, group of players. And, you know, when you think about trading Gilmore, I don't think the step back in the long run is going to be as great as maybe people think.
No.
With, you know, guys like J.C. Jackson still on the roster, Jonathan Jones.
Yep. And a team that wants
JoJuwan Williams.
A team that trades for Gilmore is all in on the next two seasons. Is that they're like, we don't want to take a chance. We're all in.
And you also
Super
have to
Bowl
understand, he's going to want to renegotiate next
year.
Well,
that's what you're going to have
to
do.
Thing. Yeah. It's next but, year you got to worry
right.
about.
I also don't think this is too controversial of an opinion in the fact that I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to take a first-round pick because of that reason.
Yeah.
Because the huge money he's going to be owed and because of what you need right now.
Well, it's the idea. Well, you can't have it both ways, though. If you're for that and no one is against that, you can't expect them to make it. They're going to suck for a
while.
See,
I think they're good enough to fight. I don't think they're good enough to win a Super Bowl. I don't. But I think they're good enough to fight if you get rid of him and with the corners that you got. That caller's exactly right. They're in pretty good shape. That's a pretty decent young core you got behind Stephon Gilmore.
You
got
to rip it down to build it up.
You're not ripping it down if you get rid of Stephon Gilmore. That's the thing.
They're
never going to tank, Fred. So, I mean, that's one thing.
Well, they're not,
John.
They're never going to tank. It's not tanking. It's managing your assets properly, which they've been horrible at.
Yep, and everybody, I think, would agree that getting rid of Gilmore for a first-round pick is a good move.
And it's also an attitude that the team's got to have of, this is not, our time is not now. Our time is in the future, which has got to, if you get rid of Gilmore, it's got to be, it's pointless unless it's an attitude and a way of doing things that's going to continue and it starts at your quarterback. It's a way of getting into this transition as quick as possible and aligning young talent around that as quickly as possible. So you're not stuck in this purgatory forever. You're not Cincinnati. You're a team that, you know, can make this adjustment quickly. You put yourself behind the eight ball a little bit by keeping Brady as long as you did, but I argue you got a Super Bowl, so that's good. But now it's time to pay. It's not going to be cute. It's not going to be easy. but dicking around
getting rid of Gilmore is easy. I think that's something that's an easy. Okay, you got a first round pick.
You're missing my entire point, but that's fine. But the thing is that if you're going to dick around in you know, sneak into wild card, that's
you're
not a way to build
about,
your
they
team.
They have no other choice, Fred.
Okay. All right. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I want to make sure you want them to get rid,
so you want them to get rid of everyone, not just Stephon Gilmore.
No, I want them to keep young talent, and I want them to be realistic at the quarterback position, and I want them to start moving people that aren't part of the future,
which they're still evaluating. You know, Cam Newton is still an evaluation. We're five games in with him.
I know
right
what Cam Newton
Four,
is.
Actually.
Cam Newton is Cam Newton, and he's 32. He's going to be 32 years old, and that's not a. I don't want to. And he's not a Super Bowl quarterback with this team. I need to develop a kid that's going to be around for a long time. That's going to give us an opportunity to win in the future. That's what I need. And I will take this call because we're late, and then we will move on. Sam, go ahead.
Hi, so the one thing that keeps popping into my head is the Jets getting Trevor Lawrence, leaving Sam Darnold open. If the Patriots wanted a young quarterback that would stick around for a long time, I can tell you that Josh McDaniels would do a lot more with Sam Darnold.
Oh, hell yes. I love where your head's at here. All right. Only to watch Fred suffer.
Here is how that could happen, and it could. All right. Jets get top three pick, and they take one of the quarterbacks. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then no one will deal fairly for Darnold. So I keep Darnold because I'm not paying him, mm-hmm. and he's my backup because he's less than I'd have to pay for a good backup. So I have him as my backup. No one trades for him. I don't think I can get fair value. He gets into free agency, then he comes to the Patriots. And that's a scenario
where he lights it up.
And he lights it like there's no tomorrow, and you win five Super Bowls with him.
He's the MVP of the damn league when
there
he plays
go.
Here.
That's right. There you go. All right. Dave Richards is going to join us with your fantasy question, 617-779-0985.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Now, more Touchin' Rich. Touchin' Rich. Touchin' Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Touchin' Rich. Dave Richards, the senior fantasy writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Hotline. If you have a call for Mr. Dave Richards, 617-779-0985. Dave, hello, sir.
What is up, Fred? How are you doing?
I have a philosophical question for you since you are a fantasy expert. All right. We were on the phone last week, and as always, I have my app up of my team. And I went to drop someone and add someone, and I dropped Tyler Lockett instead of Moore. I got my Seattle receivers confused.
Sure.
They should give me Tyler Lockett back, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, if your commissioner's a real jerk, then he's probably not going to do it.
Yeah, but he's sitting there. And Lockhart.
It's Lockhart. You know, I would expect Lockhart to do the right thing. And so this has happened. I've been playing fantasy 20 years, so it's happened to me before, too.
Yeah.
If it happens, you immediately contact your commissioner.
I did. And he picked him up.
so that's why he's not going to let you have him back, is because he picked him up. And
someone else picked him up, apparently. But I thought it was foul play. I think that, you know, just we have a working relationship, too. We have to face each other every day. He doesn't know the animosity I'm holding towards him. I mean, it's palpable. I mean, he knows it's there, but he doesn't address it.
Yeah, he's got to work through that.
Yeah. So if you have a league, I'm living with this, but it makes my team worse. But I will say this. Okay, so I'm trying to phrase things so they don't seem they're only about my team, but I'm going to try to phrase them so they seem like everyone. All right, Marvin Jones Jr. is someone I would imagine a lot of people have that's a kind of a fringe receiver for people.
I would say they're dropping him.
Okay.
They're holding on to Tyler Lockett, and they're dropping him.
All right. Everyone's already made sport of me. But so say I have Marvin Jones Jr. Or someone like him. The Lions have said they are going to make a concerted effort to give him the ball. You don't sound like someone who's buying that.
I don't want to count on it because I feel like with Marvin Jones, there will be 1 week where, oh, look, he scored a touchdown, and then it's going to be 4 weeks after that of you chasing that touchdown thinking, well, he can do it again. Let's start him. Now, there have also been – look, he played Jacksonville last week, for crying out loud. If there was ever a matchup where you would start a wide receiver on the Lions and say, okay, I feel good about his chances to go off, it would have been last week against Jacksonville. Did he go off? No. The run game went off for the Lions instead. That was something. And now they're playing Atlanta, so you might say, oh, well, this is the week again. It should be a high-scoring game between the Falcons and the Lions. There's no defense whatsoever. But he's probably going to let you down. And even if he doesn't let you down, for 1 week, you might feel great, but you're not going to know what to do with him the week after that. He's a problem.
All right. I
don't try to have problems on my fantasy team. I'm going to let somebody else have them.
So give me some solutions.
At wide receiver?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know who's left because I know that Lockhart is stealing guys left and right.
Well, he didn't steal Lockett. He's too high up, I would imagine, to get him on waivers. I tried to get Lockett on waivers.
The first name, and my guess is that he's already taken in your League of Sharks, is Antonio Brown, who it sounds like he's nearing a comeback. Someone's going to sign him. If it's the right fit, like a Baltimore, for example, he could end up being their number one receiver right away. If it's Seattle, I'm not sure if he'd even be their number two or number three. So that's something that you've really got to consider. Hey, that might work out for Lockett, by the way.
Yeah, it might work.
You might have been ahead of the curve on this because if Brown goes to Seattle, you know, that might hurt Lockett more than it hurts DK Metcalf.
Right.
But that would be somebody that I would try and stash now, assuming that I don't have a loaded bench. If I've got a loaded bench or if I've got a lot of bye weeks coming up, I'm not going to want Antonio Brown. But if I've got some scrub, if I've got Rex Burkhead on my bench, for example, Rex is a great guy, awesome football player, but he doesn't get a lot of yardage, a lot of touchdowns.
What about Damian Harris?
I still like him long term. I think right now the Patriots could be going through a rough patch, and the matchup last week against Denver wasn't the right time to start him as anything more than a flex. And same thing this week against San Francisco. So he's one of those guys that I would rather have on my bench but not start, hoping that he eventually evolves into their lead back.
Okay, give me some more receivers. Let's go, because Antonio Brown, the Sharks are out there. They're feasting on him already.
All right, DeSean Jackson would be another one. Mike Williams with the Chargers would be another one. Maybe
you got to slow down. People are listening to you in the car. So slow.
DeSean Jackson.
Okay. All right.
Who's a human being on planet Earth who plays his football in Philadelphia.
Now, he's someone you start?
Look, if I'm in a pinch, I would start him. Okay. But
Marvin Jones Jr.?
Yeah, I might go with Jones over Jackson just because of the matchup this week. But again, they're almost the same type of wide receiver. You don't really feel good about starting either one of them.
Well, okay. Well, who
Mike
else?
Williams. Mike Williams, I'd feel a little bit better about because he's taking on those Jaguars, and it sounds like he's going to play.
Okay.
And I doubt that Keelan Cole is available, but going into the week, he was only rostered in 31% of leagues.
Oh, he's available.
So maybe he's still out there. He might end up being the number one receiver for the Jaguars, and that's a team that seems to always play from behind.
Over Murray in New Orleans.
Over Murray in New Orleans, Latavius Murray. Yes. Yeah. Oh. Unless you've got Alvin Kamara.
No. All right. Okay.
No,
all right.
And it's over.
Let's talk turkey. All right. Let's go tight ends for the people. Now we're sitting out here. I mean, have there been good tight ends? Who's been the good tight ends out there?
Also, waiver wire. I mean, you're going week to week with those guys because you're just hoping that they can score a touchdown. You know who the stud tight ends are at this point anyway, but one who could end up being a stud tight end is Dallas Goedert, who isn't going to play tonight against the Giants, but he's nearing a return. He should be back soon. Zach Ertz has been absolutely miserable, and Goddard could end up being the better tight end in Philadelphia by the end of the season. So I would take a chance on stashing him. Might even stash him ahead of Antonio Brown if I had the chance. Darren Fells is another one who I really liked a lot the last 2 weeks. His playing time's gone up. Jordan Akins is another tight end in Houston who's been out. If he continues to be out, Darren Fells, who's bigger than Gronk, can continue to be a factor in the red zone for Houston. I like him off the waiver wire. Trey Burton, is on a bye this week. I would stash him too. Irv Smith with Minnesota, you can't use him this week, but I think he's worth stashing for a couple of weeks. But they'd be behind Dallas Goedert.
All right. Well, listen, it sounds good to me. Let's take a couple phone calls. Let's
I have a quick question
before
the call. So Cam Newton is a head scratcher right now. And I know that, you know, last week he just looked awful. And there's video that apparently he might have hurt his hand. Where do you think fantasy wise he is?
He's not even close to the top 12 for me this week. And really? I've been moving him down. I've even moved him down this morning just because I'm nervous about how he is as a passer. I believe that the 49ers, even with all the injuries they've had on defense, they're still finding ways to be effective. They bounced back in a big way against the Rams last week. Maybe it was a little lucky, but they still got it done. And anytime I've got to trust Cam Newton as a passer, I get a little nervous. And now if there's a problem with his hand or his arm or whatever he got hit with, I definitely have to take a step back. The philosophy that I've been working with quarterbacks this year is, can a guy score three touchdowns? If he can't, if I see a matchup and I say, this guy can't score three touchdowns, I really don't want to start him. That seems to be the barometer for a great fantasy week. And Cam might run for one and he might throw for one and that might be okay, but it's not three touchdowns okay. And I think the 49ers will be ready to slow him down as a runner. I would be nervous to trust Cam Newton this week.
And along those lines, are you now, like, if you're someone who had Edelman on your team, are you now out on him? Because, I mean, he's been a disaster.
Depends on the scoring. If it's full PPR, I'd still consider him because eventually they've got to get back to the basic with him. And he's not slowing down. It's the quarterback issue. If the quarterback's not throwing as much and the quarterback's looking further downfield, that's always been Cam's MO. There was one game this year where Edelman got a ton of catches and a ton of yards. That was against Seattle, and that's a terrible defense. 49ers aren't like that. I don't feel good starting Edelman, period, but if I'm in a non-PPR league or a half-PPR league, the whole reason why Edelman is even a fantasy asset in the first place is because of all the targets he gets. And if he's not getting that, then there's no way I'm going to feel good about starting him unless I'm getting a full point for each catch that he grabs. So I'm almost cutting Edelman in a non-PPR league because I just can't trust him. I can't feel like he's going to be a great, consistent part of my fantasy week every single time that I've got to set a lineup.
Yeah, so basically you're stashing Harris and then the rest of the skill position players in the quarterback of the Patriots out. I would agree.
Right, but I don't want to cut Cam because there will be matchups down the line. I mean, come on, they'll play the Jets. So when those matchups come along, you're going to want to use Cam. You might want to use Edelman for that matchup too. But to me, it's like James White, Damian Harris, and then everybody else I could live without. I could stash Sony on my IR spot.
I'm half kidding, but Cam Newton might not play the whole game against the Jets in that Greg Williams defense, and they're getting rid of everybody who's got more than 2 years in the league. They're taking out knees. I mean, I'm telling you, Cam Newton running with the ball every time. If you like Cam Newton, which I don't think many people are wild about him, I'm holding my breath every time he starts running around because, oof. That's a dirty-ass defense. All right.
It is.
Yes, it is. All right. Dave Richard. People can follow you at Dave Richard. He was obviously very early in on the Twitter phenomenon, and we thank you so much for the time, sir. Thank you.
You got it, gentlemen. Good luck in your leagues this weekend.
All right. We appreciate it, sir. And Mike Lockhart, our own Mike Lockhart, has his fantasy football show 10 years running, and that is on Saturday mornings from 10 to 12. So, I'm sorry, Sunday mornings from 10 to 12. 8 to 10. It's Sunday mornings from 8 to 10.
Thanks for listening.
No, I do listen.
I know, sure. I know, yeah.
But I just I got confused because it's before the pregame for the 1 o'clock games. And so I got it.
So if the 1 o'clock game, pregame's at 10. So
stop trying to make me feel bad. Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, the Fantasy Football Show, going on 10 years. Matthew McConaughey, I'm told, Rich, has an audiobook.
Yep, just came out with a brand new biography, or if you want to call it that, just kind of ramblings about his life. So we have a little bit of the audiobook for that, Fred.
Fantastic. Looking forward to hearing it. Here are the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Fine.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let me tell you what Melvin Toast is packing right here. I've got 411 Posi Track Outback, 750 Double Pumper, Edelbrock Intakes, Ford Over 30, 11-to-1 pop-up pistons, turbojet, 390 horsepower. We're talking some muscle.
5, the Sports Hub, that's Matthew McConaughey. He's got a book, sort of.
Green Lights is what it's called.
I just got a text from the dentist. I'm supposed to go today because I got to get a fake tooth. And I thought I was just going for a consultation, but it said if you have to pre-medicate. And I don't have any prescription drugs. So there's going to be an emergency phone call next break. What the heck? I mean, Jesus, why don't the dentists in Boston drug you? What is the issue? Give people don't want to get a tooth ripped out of their mouth. Make it as pleasant an experience as possible. Have you guys gotten teeth removed?
No. But I've gotten like a little bit of work, but they just shot me up with Novocaine.
I've gotten root canals and things like
that.
Yeah,
so have I.
But nothing removed.
Yeah, and I'm not looking for the luxury of a root canal being knocked out, even though they do in Michigan. That's what they do. They sedate you. They at least make it so time goes by faster. I mean, they're going to rip a tooth out of my mouth. I would like to be, in a state of mind that's not present.
When I got Novocaine, I couldn't feel anything.
But that's like nothing. But Novocaine doesn't take you out of the situation. You're still present in the situation. I want to be in a state where I'm not entirely there. I want to be, I mean, even if it's just stupid nitrous, at least give me nitrous.
You don't want to see them with stuff in your mouth?
All I want is the time to go by. And you know, I don't want, because getting a tooth pulled, the time slows. My perception of time slows. I don't want to, they don't have to put me on a respirator. All I want is time to move at a normal pace.
I remember when I was a kid, I was horrible in the dentist chair, and they used to give me the gas and knock me out whenever they did something.
My daughter freaked out so bad it didn't even do anything, the gas. She was so panicked that it didn't even help.
Yeah, I've heard of that happening before, sure.
Yeah, it didn't do anything. I've had nitrous before where it didn't do anything, but I'm hoping now that I've been clean this long that something works.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, am I wrong? Isn't that like a scary thing to get a text that says, like, you got to, if you have to pre-medicate? Well, yeah, I mean, I want to pre-medicate.
Foreboding bad things.
Yeah, but, well, yes, I want to. Absolutely. Yes, everything. So do you want to pre-medicate? Yes.
Yes. Can you help me?
Like, who says no? No. No, 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 no. Please.
But like Rich, all I ever got was Novocaine. Yeah, I had the root canal, they gave me enough shots where I felt nothing for about 5 hours.
The thing is, the dentist's office is 3 blocks from my house. Believe me, I'm fine. All right. Anyway, so Matthew McConaughey, I got to get on this. Matthew McConaughey, so if you're listening, and some of you do, come on, make with the drugs. All right. Now, Matthew McConaughey, Rich, is a person who is, I'll tell you, I don't know a lot about him personally, but I do know he likes to take his SUV and ride into a silky smooth jazz party, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure. And then, like, you know, bite his finger after remembering a night with just a guy whose house he was at, which is really weird.
Yeah. His ties askew at the end. His shirt's unbuttoned a little bit.
We're not quite sure what's going on. I really like Matthew McConaughey, but obviously he's a strange human being. Matter of fact, I think Wooderson from Days of Confused might be my favorite movie character of all time, and that's saying a lot. I mean, if he's not my favorite, he's definitely a top fiver. But you know, he became the rom-com guy for a while, and he's always his shirt off, and he's, you know, the guy who's been arrested. But he came out with this book on tape. Now, this is, by the way, all on the heels of him doing his DJ stint on the U2 radio station. remember when he was like, hosted that for a while, which was very strange.
Speaking of little guitar tickles.
Okay, so.
He probably likes really good music.
Not quite sure what he's into, but he seemed to be a fan of you too. Yes, that's the truth. But he came out with this book called Green Lights, and thank goodness there is an audio version of it. And just because I'm that kind of guy, I spent a decent amount of time last night going through some of the audio. And would you like to hear some of the highlights of his new autobiography, Green Lights?
I absolutely would.
Let's take a listen.
So I packed up those journals and took a one-way ticket to solitary confinement in the desert, where I began writing what you hear now. An album, a record, a story of my life so far. Things I witnessed, dreamed, chased, gave, and received.
Why don't you slow down with that whistly S, you annoying prick?
He's got, listen, he's got the...
Hey, there must be always good news.
I mean, he's got that...
whistle.
Oh, is there anything worse than that S whistle? And you know he doesn't have it in real life. He doesn't have it in the movies.
Well, they can edit it out.
That's an affectation.
The world.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think that that Linkletter was sitting there taking out the S's? You gotta let that fly.
Truth bombs that interrupted my space and time in ways I could not ignore. These are my sights and scenes, felt and figured out, cools and shamefuls, graces, truths, and beauties of brutality, initiations, invitations, calibrations, and graduations, getting away with, getting caught, and getting wet, trying to dance between the raindrops.
I've already put the book down. I've already turned that sucker off.
His prose is like,
something else.
His prose is like jazz,
good
man.
God.
It's like, yeah, man.
He's like when, have you ever seen Drunk Kerouac on the Steve Allen show? This used to be television. Steve Allen comes out, and boy, I'm aging myself, but this is before even I was born. But Steve Allen comes out. This is like the Johnny Carson show, that's even aging. This is like the Stephen Colbert show, right? But there's like four channels, and this is one of them. All right, Stephanie. And this is one of them. And so Steve Allen goes out to a piano and just starts tickling the ivories while Jack Kerouac is all drunk and fat and like dying. Like he's dying.
Hey,
yeah, and he's like, yeah. Skiddly, bop, bop, bop. I dare you to read Out on the Road now and not want to shoot yourself. Man, we just dance like the. Shut up! I know what the book really should have read like, based on you and Ginsberg and Cassidy. You enjoyed each other's company in a sexy way. You should have made a sexy erotic thriller. All right, here we go.
Rites of passage. All between are on the other side of persistence and letting go, on the way to the science of satisfaction in this great experiment called life. Hopefully, it's medicine that tastes good.
How many girls have just nodded their heads at him and waited for him to phone him?
How great would it be if you could just combine two audiobooks at once, and this one gets combined with the David Lee Roth one?
The David Lee Roth book is so schizophrenic, it's unreadable. I owned it at one point.
It just doesn't sit. So you're telling me it sounds just like the Matthew McConaughey one?
Yes. Well, he's like, it'll be like, you know, I was growing up in Indiana at this farmhouse. It's 1982 and we're backstage at the Pacific Palisades Arena.
Oh, God! Oh, God, I'm running! Oh, yeah!
So apparently we're time traveling. They call over the place. I just picture a pretty girl nodding and just being like, when do we have sex? Like, give me one of your awards and show me out the door.
A couple of aspirin instead of the infirmary, a spaceship to Mars without needing your pilot's license, going to church without having to be born again, Jesus. And laughing through the tears. It's a love letter to life.
What are you talking about?
Start the damn book.
This is like the song Motown Philly, where the whole song is about the song. Like, this book is just about the book. So this book is describing the book that I'm going to write eventually.
At what point I'm just expecting him to yell.
515.
I mean, you know, the amount of nonsense that comes out to the two of them. I mean, really, if that was Ray Lewis, you'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, that's him.
Well, he's speaking on a mystical plane that neither of us can understand, obviously.
Right, it's, you know, Texas Hunk Ray Lewis is pretty much what this is.
Oh, to be handsome. to be handsome and perpetually thin. I mean, this is how life winds up for you. All of a sudden, this is all cool, and it makes perfect sense.
Now, speaking of bumper stickers, I have always loved bumper stickers. So much so that I've stuck bumper to sticker and made them one word, bumper sticker. Their lyrics, one-liners, quick hitters, from the font they're in to the color scheme to the word or words they say.
I like bumper stickers, too. My kid what? Beat up your A student. Bumper stickers.
No fat chicks.
Up with the skirts, down with the panties. I had a friend who had that, and a friend of mine's brother had that in high school. Up with the skirts, down with the panties.
Okay.
Up skirts. Bumper stickers.
A bumper sticker tells you a lot about the person behind the wheel in front of you.
Yeah, it says that they're an a-hole. Like, they might as well just get out of their car at red lights and just be like, I'm whimsical. Who has a bumper sticker that doesn't say Newton softball?
If they're free spirits or conformist, funny or serious, what kind of pets they have, what kind of music they like. Over the last 50 years, I've been collecting my bumper stickers. Some I've seen, some I've heard, some I stole, some I dreamed, some I said. Some are funny, some are serious, but they all stuck with me. Because that's what bumper stickers do. The sole objective is...
By the way, I did not edit that. That is that right for one voice into the next.
All right.
5:15:75.
This guy makes perfect sense. I love bumper stickers too.
I mean, at some point, I don't know what he's trying to do there.
That's what bumper stickers do.
It is what bumper stickers. Someone said it's like listening to the smartest golden retriever ever.
Yes, indeed. What you trying to say? Kill who? Damn, Son of Sam, your dog's crazy.
Someone said, I guarantee you he has the bumper sticker 419. Got a minute?
You gotta have a bumper sticker or you ain't gonna get lifted into the heaven. Matthew McConaughey, I hear your voice like the jazz.
The sole objective is the pursuit of the singular finish with only the arrival in sight.
That's right. Indeed.
Now you're talking my language.
I get the New York Times puzzle right every time. That word is infrared. Well, it says who starred in the 82, the 1980s sitcom. It's set in a bar. Infrared.
Numbers.
Four. Ask the question.
This is what brings us together. Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
I love your whistle. Keep it up. I could listen to 4 hours of that. Your constant S whistle just bugging me, hitting me right in the eardrum like a pick of ice.
Because that's what bumper stickers do.
They whistle. They whistle while you are. Are you and the coach of the ex-coach of the Montreal Canadiens, Matthew McConaughey, going to go out and eat poo?
Michelle Therrien. So you're saying
it sounds a little bit like him.
It does. Yes, it does.
Crap. I'm 45 and just gave an eat poo joke.
Crap.
With them just like throwing it around like Scrooge McDuck throwing coins. They're just like
crap.
Was Smelly Kelly your favorite Garbage Pail Kid?
Okay.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. We could have fun with those sounders for a long time. All right. We will be back. Doc Emmerich going to join us at 9:20.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.